Imagine being born into the teeming chaos of the Indian subcontinent, and then, to make matters worse, try immigrating to New York City. That's what novelist Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni did, and she's managed to turn out several first-rate novels along the way. Now she's turned her attention to literature for children, partly because she's a mom herself. But as she told Anstrange Shams, Chitra Divakaruni had another reason for writing a book called The Conch Bearer.
9/11 had just occurred, and it really struck me, particularly because of the hate crimes that followed 9/11, that it was very important. This was a very important time in America to really create a multicultural literature for children. And I really wanted to give something to children growing up here, which would be Indian and which would come from an Indian background. As I looked at books that were available, there were many wonderful ones, but not many that were based in India, not many that were by Indian authors.
What sort of Indian elements did you deliberately want to fold into the books?
Well, they are magical adventures, so I went back to the fairy tales and folk tales that I had grown up with to look at what were some mythic elements that I could bring in. And in The Conch Bearer, for example, the conch, it's a very old and sacred element. It's an object that's mentioned in many of our ancient myths and epics. So I wanted to bring that in. And I wanted to bring in the land. So in The Conch Bearer, as Anand, Nisha, and Abhaydatta journey across India to return the magical conch to its home, we see the daily life of the people.
There's another magical element you folded in. I'm thinking about the Silver Valley, this magical place your characters are heading towards. Isn't that a version of the myth of Shangri-La?
Absolutely. And that is a big part of, you know, Indian myth. Even now, people talk about these hidden valleys in the Himalayas. If only we could just get to them, everything would be perfect. And when I was younger, I did a fair amount of traveling in the mountains. So I think that myth has a special interest for me, and my own experience in the mountains, all of that got folded into The Conch Bearer.
And I think the wonderful thing about books like this, books that have magic in them, is that they let us live for a little while in a world in which magic is real. You know, your adult novels also contain some of those magical elements. So I'm wondering where that fascination with magic and mysticism, where that comes from for you.
I guess that's something very deep in me. It's been an interest of mine for a long time. And also as a meditator and a person who tries to follow a spiritual path, I do believe that this world that we're seeing, we don't see it in its true aspect. And its true aspect is much more magical and much more beautiful and much more magnetic than what it is that we see around us. So I'm always trying to uncover these mysterious facets of the world that we live in.
Have you been able to explore that magical aspect of the world? You also called it the true nature of the world. Have you encountered it yourself in your own waking daily life, or is it something you encounter mostly in your writing?
Well, I think I have encountered it. I mean, I could start telling you stories and there wouldn't be time for that, but every once in a while, amazing things will happen. And, you know I'm not alone in this because other people have written about it and they've talked about it, and some call it synchronicity and others call it by other names. But things happen. There are large and mysterious patterns of which we become aware from time to time.
What's the most magical or mysterious thing that's ever happened to you?
You want a little story?
Yes.
Okay, this was when I was up in the Himalayas and I had gone there for a pilgrimage. And we had to go to a place called Amarnath. To get there, you have to climb for about 4 days across glaciers. And the only way to do is to walk. And then it takes 2 days to come down. And when we were coming down, then it started raining very heavily, which is really bad, as you can imagine, when you're on glaciers, because the paths wash away, you know, big holes open up. And also, the ground is like slush. So here I was trying to walk through this slush, and I was really tired. And I got separated from my group, and, you know, they went on ahead. People just go on ahead. These are loosely formed groups of pilgrims. We don't necessarily know each other from before. But we just walk from like one rest stop to the other rest stop together. So I got separated and it was getting to be evening. And I came to a part in the road where the road was completely washed away. And instead, now there was a river. And, you know, the only way to get across would be if I could jump across that river. And I just did not have it in me to jump across anything at that point. So I just sat down there and I was sure that I was going to die because, you know, if I was outside on the mountain at night, I would just freeze to death. And so it's getting closer. And then this old man comes from behind me. And I hadn't really seen him before, but then, you know, I didn't know all the pilgrims. And he says, and he has this long stick. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to jump across and then I'm going to give you the stick. And then you just hold on to it and I'll pull you across. So at that point, I had no option. So I said, fine. He jumped across and he gave me the stick and he pulled me across. He was very strong. He looked like he was in his 70s. He was white-haired with a beard. And he said, come, I know this the way back to the next rest stop, so you can walk with me. So I walked with him. And then he said, well, I have to go on because my camp is just beyond the mountain. And so I went to my rest area. And then he went off. In the morning, when I thought about it, I thought I really need to go and thank him because he really saved my life. So before our group started going down further on its way, I went across to the other side of this little peak. On one side was our rest camp, and on the other side, according to him, was his rest camp. And there was nothing. Hmm. There was nobody over there. Hmm. So, you know, what do you make of that? I think he was one of the spirits of the mountain. That's what I think. And those are the kinds of people that I've tried to weave into my books, hopefully in a way where other readers can, you know, relate to them and appreciate that we do indeed live in a magical world.
Chitra Devakaruni is the author of The Conch Bearer and its sequel, The Mirror of Fire and Dreaming. Anne Strangeham spoke with her.